Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue with the Rambam Perek Zion Halacha Aleph Hilchas Sanhedrin, Chapter 7, Law 1. We began it yesterday. We'll just quickly review from the beginning and move to the end of Halacha Aleph. If one of the litigants says, Ish ploni yodin li, I would like such and such a person to be the judge in my case here. Vermo Baldino, and the other litigant says, ploni yodin li, I want another person to be my judge. So they both can be two of the judges. Hare elu shne dayanim shebeirer, those two that these two litigants chose. Ze'echa, this one picked one. Ve'ze'echa, this one picked one. Hey, barim lam dayan shlishi, the two judges now pick a third judge. And the three judges now will judge the case for these two people. And that's how it's going to come out. That way the judgment will come out true, meaning to say the litigants will accept the judgment. Now, even if one of the three, the first two that was picked, was clearly a great scholar, and as a matter of fact, he even had smicha. Okay, so he's a big guy. So he can't force the other litigant to say, that's enough, we'll just go with him. But rather, the other fellow can pick a rabbi who's not of the same caliber of this rabbi. As the Gemara tells us, that the courts in Bavel had Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Even though Rav Chisda was not as great as Rav Huna at all, and still in all, he was considered a second judge that could be chosen. Okay, so therefore, even though one is a much bigger rabbi, he can't say, well, you know, the litigant say, I have a bigger rabbi, we shall listen to him. No, the other guy says, I'll pick another rabbi. We'll see, he has to have some credentials, obviously. If you look at the difference between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, I mean, these are Amoraim, and even though there's a vast difference between them, but obviously Rav Chisda was no slouch by any stretch of the imagination. Okay, also the commentaries say, this is all when the two judges are living in the same city, but if one of the judges is in another city, you can't force the litigant to go to another city to go to the judge. Sometimes one guy will say, okay, I picked a judge here. Let's say I picked a judge 50 miles away. Okay, we're going to have to go there. No, if you're picking the judge, you have to be in the same city. Okay, Beis. Now we're going to go, in the next halacha, is Beis Gimel Daled Hey. Yes, are going to tell us where people are not doing what would normal procedures be like. They're not required to do the normal procedures, yet they're allowed to put themselves, the litigants, put themselves at a disadvantage up to a point. And he can't retract out of that disadvantage. He puts himself in this litigation, as we'll see what's coming up here. Base. Mi shekibel of karav opasel, one of the litigants was willing to have the other litigant bring certain people you're not normally allowed to bring to a case. Let's say the other litigant brought a relative to testify. Now, the other litigant say, I'm not accepting his testimony. Throw him out. He's a relative. But if he says, you know what, you want to bring your relative? Let him testify. I'm not gonna make a big deal about it. Let him testify. Or let's say a apostle, a person who is rendered unfit to testify, or to judge for that matter. Let's say somebody who lent with interest, or plays gambles, who the rabbis say cannot be a judge, and cannot be a witness. Alright, that's what it is. Ben Liosa died, Ben Liosa ate a love. Doesn't matter if this relative or this puzzle is going to be used as a judge, as one of the three judges, or as an important witness. Now, Again, the other litigant is not obliged to accept this. He can say, I'm not going to take this judge. I'm not going to take this witness. But if he does, he's allowed, he could. And if he does, even if he accepts someone who is illegitimate for an outright sin, they can't even testify. Still, since he is accepting of it, they will be like Kishnei Edim Kshem Lehedavav. He's considered like two kosher witnesses to testify in the case, because he is accepting him to testify. Or like three expert judges. In other words, if you're willing to take a guy who's not, you know, proper, if you're saying, I don't care, and it's to my disadvantage, it's okay. Bein shekiv, it doesn't matter how it's going to turn out, in which way he's going to lose. Bein shekiv latzmo la'abed zchuyosov, whether by picking this wrongful fellow, he accepts upon himself to lose his right to claim, and he'll have to forego that which he was claiming, I'll PM based on what they say, or the reverse. Or he's willing to accept, to pay out what the other guy's claiming against him based on these not such fantastic witnesses or judges. Doesn't matter. He is acceptable with the following. What?
Mind the right spot.
It's yeah. Zion Bays.
Mind the wrong spot?
Not the right place. What's the problem?
We don't see all those words.
Why not? The fine rules apply when litigant accepts his own or an opposing witness relative or another person who's unacceptable to a judge or a witness in this case. If you've, okay, that's as far as I got to. Now, I gotta get the next one.
There was a lot more.
Oh, he's going below the line.
Oh, you're going below the line?
Well, I don't know.
Sometimes the different versions, I don't know.
Well, really, the Hebrew is already going below the line, while the English is summarizing it a lot more. If you look at the Hebrew, I've said exactly what's in the Hebrew. Okay. The English has been very succinct. Let's put it that way. Well, what can I tell you? It's being very succinct. But we're on track. So anyway, now it depends. It doesn't go carte blanche. There's two circumstances. Im kanu miyoda alzeh. If the litigant who's willing to take this disadvantage, whatever, if he makes a formal kinyan, for example, a kinyan sudor. You know, one of the kinyanim is a sudor. You give, like when I sell the chametz, I give you a handkerchief to pick up. So if he's willing to pick up a handkerchief and says, okay, I'm allowing this to happen. I'm picking up the handkerchief and I'm allowing this guy. That's an actual kinyan. I'm allowing this to transpire. So if he does that, now here's the problem. A lot of times people will make outrageous concessions, figuring they're going to win anyway. Yeah. And then halfway through the litigation say, uh-oh, I think I made a mistake. Wasn't, you know, the guy could, be, this is so clear, even your brother can testify, there's no way that my, you know, that's how he's doing it, right? To prove it. All of a sudden the brother testifies and he's lying or totally off the bit, you know, whatever. Or he lets his judge, and he sees by the way the judge asks a question, it's going to be bad news. So here's the point. He never really had to allow this to happen. He allows this to happen. The question is, at what point does he reach the point of no return that he can't back out of it? So one way is, if a formal kinyan was made, that guy says, oh, you're going to let my brother testify? Well, wait a minute, I want you to back out in the middle here. Go take my handkerchief and pick it up. Now it's a formal kinyan, now you can't get out of it. So that's what it says. If he makes a kinyan, he can't back out of it. Even before the judgment was rendered, but he sees it's already going the way they might not like it. He's stuck with it, because he's made a formal kinyan for that to happen. Or, let's say he didn't make a kinyan, but there's still a point of no return. If he doesn't make a kinyan, initially he can back out of it. He can back out of it. But only until the judgment's been rendered. Nigmar adin, once the judgment is rendered, I have to read the next words carefully here. And the money will have to go out, he'll have to lose out from either the witness who's a relative, or the testimony, or the judgment rather, but it has not yet transferred. In other words, we didn't take the money from him, but the judgment was ruled. Once the judgment's ruled, and a yochel lachzer, he cannot back out of it. So again, he never really had to accept such a situation. If he does, two ways could make it he can't back out of it. If there's a kinyan made in the beginning, or once the ruling is done. If no kinyan was done and we're before the ruling, you can say, I don't like what's going on over here. Because it's really, it's not legally to be this way. So he has to do something to show he's willing to alter it or let the judgment be rendered, then it's too late.
Generally speaking, can you be related to the judge? Can the litigant be related to
no.
the judge?
No.
So how distant
What is relation?
We'll have to talk about that.
In a small town, almost everybody's going
to
be
related. We'll have to talk about that.
Just okay. Seems counterintuitive.
Like petticoat.
You think you have a court and there's big judges on it that they wouldn't be laying down the rules of the testament.
What if you're in a small village? What if you're in Hooterville? Hootersville.
Yes.
Right. If you have a big court, we wouldn't let this happen. But, it's a small town, whatever. And the guy says... And the smartest guy is his brother. Whatever.
All right, so think of this morning. He's nice enough to say, okay, we'll let your brother testify. So he's got a little benefit there because he's trying to be a nice guy. Maybe that counts as a kingdom.
No, he has to do something formally. Here, somebody else is getting... I know, from the morning, somebody has to get something.
The guarantor didn't have to do a kingdom and he's bound.
The who?
The guarantor this morning. It was like, he didn't have to pick up anything. He just said, I'll guarantee the loan, and there was a kingdom.
First of all, I think he has to sign something. He has to do something.
Well, the guarantee the loan.
He has to sign, he has to do
but
something.
But we said it was because he got benefit that this guy got the money.
Right, so that makes it effective. But here, there's no benefit over here. There's absolutely no benefit going on over here. He's willing to just go.
Why are you going to do it?
Because something... Listen, sometimes you want to...
It's bravado.
Bravado. Sometimes there's a lot of bluffing, It says, listen, I'm so sure I'm the winner. You can even have your brother testify. I don't care. It's so clear.
So in the laws, a witness can't be related? Is that...
Yeah, but that's under normal laws. But here, we're willing to not go by the rules. Right? Obviously, why would you not want your opposing person's brother to testify against you, Shelley? Why would you not want it?
Because he wants his brother to win.
That's right. But what if you're saying, I don't care? Well, then what's the problem? In other words, we're allowed, if it's at your expense, you're allowed to let the things go not according to
court. Doesn't the court have to test the witness's veracity? Are they going to have a problem with that?
Again, you have to remember, this is not in front of the Sanhedrin here. These scenarios are out in the boondocks. In a normal place, this wouldn't happen. We just want to know what would be the output they'd have. All right, let's pick another example. Okay? There's certain type of oaths that have to be made. When a real oath has to be made, a biblical oath has to be made, it's a serious thing. You pick up a Sefer Torah, you're invoking God's name. That's a serious kind of an oath. And quite often that becomes a deterrent from a person to take advantage of a situation. That says, if he normally would want to get out of it, says, I don't owe you anything. It's okay. Now you got to swear with the Torah. Oh, well, in that case, I don't want to swear with the Torah. Oh, no. So that's a big deterrent. But what if the litigant is willing to forego requiring the other fellow to make a very strong oath, but only requires him to make a much lighter oath that doesn't carry the same negative implication if you're lying? So that's coming up next. Gimel. Let's say normally the Bezin would be requiring the fellow to make a normal biblical oath, swearing by Hashem's name with the Torah in his hand. But for Amar Lo, but the litigant who has the right to demand in the situation where he has the right to demand such an oath, he says, listen, I'm not going to require such a strong oath. He shavli b'chai roshna, just swear by your life. Right, which is a much lighter oath because you're not saying Hashem's name. Swear by your life. And then if you're willing to swear by your life, in other words, again, it could be the guy says, I don't want to have to swear by God's name. Says, listen, if it's good if you just swear, you don't have to say God's name, swear by your life. Okay, maybe he's thinking he won't swear by his life or whatever, but he's willing, he had the right to make him swear by Hashem's name, and now he's swearing by his life. Oh, he shavali b'chai roshcha, or in other words, the first one is you swear by your life and you don't have to pay me, or you swear by your life and I'll give you what you're claiming. Okay? I'll give you what you're claiming. So now again, when can he back out? Now he sees the guy's willing to make that oath and not pay. So im konomiyoto, if they made a formal kinyan to that effect that he doesn't have to make such a strong oath, he can't go back. He has to allow the guy to make a very flimsy oath. If he did not make a kinyan, then Yachal Achzerbo, he can't back out of it, but only to what point? Achik Maradin, until the judgment is finalized. And when would a judgment be finalized where an oath is required? When the oath is made. Once the guy makes the oath, that's it. In a normal case of law, if the judge says, okay, if you say that's the truth, swear. Once he swears, that's it. Because that ends the issue. If the guy swears, I didn't owe it to you, the case is done. So there's nothing to talk about. So that's what happens. But Nigmar Adin Vinishmo Sharmalo, but if the judgment is finished because he swore as the guy asked from him a lighter oath, and Yachalatzer, he can't back out of it, he has to pay. So again, these are examples of where you the litigant didn't have to be so easy on the other guy, and when can you back out of it or not has been discussed.
But if the litigants start changing the ground rules, doesn't it pervert the justice? Like what if he says, I'm only going to require you to bring one aid, I don't need two aids. Like,
it's his problem. If he's willing,
it's his civil suit.
He's willing to say, I'll accept that. So then, you know, yeah, it's no different than a compromise. Yeah. Compromise. Where does compromise come from? They're both agreeing to compromise. The guy's got to make a swear. Let's say the guy can swear and get off. He says, listen, instead of swearing, I'll give you half. Okay, if they both agree to it, then fine. The best judgments are when the litigants are agreeable. So if he's agreeable, he's agreeable. But then sometimes he realizes it wasn't such a good idea to be agreeable.
I'm just hung up on this. Like, we have this swearing. And then the rabbi keeps saying how people are reluctant to say God, David, and all the Torah and swear. But
pious Jews are. Pious Jews.
If you know you hate the guy or you're innocent or whatever it is, then why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you swear?
What harm is there? If you know absolutely.
Invoking Hashem's name is a serious.
But you know you. You
doesn't matter. You don't want to say Hashem's name, you know, if it's not necessary. And people would rather. They have such reverence for Hashem's name.
But
they don't want to say his name.
That's my point. If people have such reverence, then they wouldn't swear
false
and use his name and lie. Exactly.
No, but
so it's
first of all, a crook would. Hey, you're talking at two different extremes. You can't compare the ultimate tzaddik to the ultimate Russia. The ultimate Russia will swear with God's name falsely. The ultimate tzaddik won't swear God's name truthfully.
So the system punishes the righteous.
Doesn't punish anybody. The righteous doesn't have to. The righteous can say, I'll swear. You want to be a super tzaddik on your cheshbon, go ahead. Bez is not requiring him to do it.
But
it's not required.
The rules are set up so that you do swear. So obviously
that's the rule. If you want to be super pious, it's your option. You don't have to. And if you don't want to, this is the law. People always can be machmir on themselves. There's no problem being machmir. So a person who's very God-fearing will say, listen, I know I'm entitled, I can swear and I'm off the hook. I don't want to say Hashem's name for my personal business to say that I don't want to. Now, not that that's a bad thing. He's being machmer. Just like, people have their chumras. He doesn't want to, you know, some people are very so afraid to say Hashem's name. What, I'm going to use that. I'm going to drag Hashem's name in for my personal business. Here, take $100. I don't want to bother doing that. That's the person being personally machmer, that's all. So it doesn't have to, and he's not a bad Jew at all, he's fine with saying he's telling the truth, but there are Jews who are very reluctant to schlep God's name in for their own personal use. You don't have to, but the person wants to be that pious, he's allowed to.
Doesn't cast a doubt, you say, well, if you're sure you're right, then...
I'm right, but I don't want to invoke God's name, and I'm willing to give you the money, and that's all. And we've seen big tzaddikim who did this always. Big. Can you imagine the Chazon Ish had a litigation with somebody, right? The Chazon Ish said, I'm not going to swear. Here, take the money. You think they're going to think the Chazon Ish was a liar? And obviously, the person who does this has a spiritual profile that goes with that. All right, someone's got a spiritual profile that goes with that. I'm trying to remember, there was a story. I just can't remember. That's a really good story. I can't remember. Where a guy wasn't willing to swear and he lost a lot of money. I can't remember. But this was not unusual at all. So that's what he is. Okay, Dal. Now here's a real interesting one. There's another type of oath called a rabbinic oath. We know, for example, it's a biblical oath if you're a moda b'miktsas. If a guy says, you owe me 200, the guy says, I owe you 100. That's a biblical oath. That's a classical biblical oath. There's another one. Let's say a guy says, you owe me 200. The guy says, I owe you nothing. Kofar bakol biblically makes zero oath. However, there's something called a shvuas hesus, a rabbinic oath. On the rabbinic level, they make the guy swear. Now that's a much less severe oath to make. Okay? Hesus means, because the rabbis have imposed upon him to swear, again, only because maybe this way he may admit if he's a liar. Okay?
What's your example of that?
A guy says, you owe me $200, I'll say, I owe you nothing. I owe you nothing. Right? Now, it depends. It can't just be out of nowhere such a thing, but if there seems to be some reasonable way to feel that that there is some kind of claim, the guy said, I paid you back. You pay him back. So, biblically, you don't have to. What if a guy says, I lent you a car? The guy says, you don't lend me nothing. So, I lent it to you. So, you know, so then the Torah says, you don't have to make an oath. But the rabbis impose an oath. Okay? Now, so what if there's a case where a fellow was had to have an oath, and usually it's on the guy who denies. It's the denier makes this rabbinic oath. But look what happens. The denier turns it around and says, I'll tell you what, I have the option to make a shvuas hesus and get off the hook. But I'm going to turn it around, and you can make the oath. And you, if you're willing to make the oath, you could take the money. Okay? So again, Vuadilamishan is Chayashu says a person was obliged to make a rabbinic oath of denial. Vahafacha. And he turned it upside down on the claimant to make the claimant. Now this is not normal standard jurisprudence. Alright? But really, think about it. Who has the advantage and how's the advantage switching? Who has the advantage? The guy who could swear. The guy could say, it's not even a biblical oath now. It's just a rabbinic oath. The guy makes a rabbinic oath, he's off the hook. Wouldn't you say he's at the advantage? Because nothing the guy can do to get the money. Right? He says, listen, you know what? If you really think you have the money coming to you, I'll tell you what. I don't want to make any from rabbinic oaths. But if you're so hot to trot for the money, if you make an oath, normally he couldn't. Guy can't make an oath and take. If you want to make the oath, I'll give it to you. We couldn't do that sort of biblical oath, because you can't make another guy say God's name when Hashem doesn't want to say. It's not God's name, it's just a rabbinic oath. Guy says, listen, I don't want to have to bother to swear because you're bugging me. But I'll tell you what, if you're willing to swear, you could have it. Now, he clearly is putting the claimant at an advantage. Because till now it was in his court. All he has to do is deny it. There's nothing the other guy can do to get it. He said, listen, you want it so badly here. Ball's in your court. Go make the oath and you'll get it. Now again, that could have been a bluff. You know, maybe he ain't going to make the rabbinic oath or not. But he did that. So the same thing. If a Kenyan was made, or the guy Taka says, okay, and he makes the oath and the oath was done. Then any yokalachsibro, he can't back out of it, and he has to pay the money. Okay, so those were three examples of this. And one last one. Vahuadin, this is totally interesting. Shemish lohaya chayv shua. Let's say a guy was not obliged to swear at all. No way would there be any obligation to swear. And he says the fine. Va'amar, and he says, Eshavalacha shvua. I'm going to make an oath, not because I have to, but because I would like to strengthen my claim, and I'm insisting that I make the oath, and if I don't make the oath, I'll have to pay you. In other words, there was no obligation to make an oath. The scenario did not dictate. He wasn't admitting half. It wasn't a case of a rabbinic oath. He would not make an oath. But they're having an argument who should get this thing, whatever. And the guy says, I'll tell you what. I'll make an oath. And I'll make an oath, and that will keep me off the hook. And if I don't make the oath, then I'll have to pay. Now, he didn't have to say that. He's volunteering all this. And then what happens? Then he says, you know, wait a minute. Maybe I want to back out of that. Maybe it's not such a good idea. Maybe I don't want to make an oath. So the same thing. If he made a kinyan to the fact that he would make the oath, and Yachalas, we can't back it up. If he doesn't make a kinyan, once it's been accepted in Bezdin, that doesn't, and we make the judgment, Choser Achiyigmar Hadin, he can go back until the judgment is rendered, V'yishava, and then he could swear. In other words, even if he didn't want to swear, and they're about to make him lose, right? Still, he can go back until the judgment is, as long as the judgment wasn't rendered, he didn't make the oath, and the person is about to say he's guilty, and then, until they render it, he can get back and...
Is it God's name?
It's not clear. Not clear, because the commentary...
Then I would think of it almost like a God's name
they
in vain.
They seem to say a shvua chamur. The commentary say he's willing to say, I'm going to make a severe oath.
That's not God's name in vain, that you're sort of voluntarily...
But it's telling the truth.
Yeah, but...
Not if you
don't have this... I swear this is a table, but that's...
No, I'm swearing this is the truth. People think I'm a liar. I want to strengthen my case. I want to strengthen my case, and I'm going to say, I swear that this is what happened. Not, this is a table. We all know it's a table. I don't know what the truth is. One guy makes a claim. Another guy makes a claim. I'm so sure I'm innocent. I deserve it, whatever. I'm going to make a severe oath. I don't have to, but I'm going to make a severe oath. And I feel that, you know, that will strengthen my case. So if he says that he's going to do it, right? And, so if there's no kinyan, even though the Beis Din, let's say he would have to pay, it looks like he has to pay, he could go back until the judgment is totally finished. And he can make an oath. Okay.
Yeah. In my limited experience, excuse my ignorance, Kenyan I've always thought had to be something physical.
Clipping. No, with a handkerchief.
Yeah. But
that's physical.
It's always to transfer something.
How do I...
You're
making a Kenyan of how I want this thing to happen. How I want this court case to happen. I'm going to change the rules based on a Kenyan.
Don't you do a Kenyan with a Kedushin?
Sure.
There's a kinyan on another thing. Here you see there's a kinyan in a lawsuits. That's what you're saying. There's a kinyan in lawsuits. So we learned something new.
Yep.
Okay, Bob. Now, me, Shanisrai, Rebez, and now we're gonna go to the next Vav Zion Tess, Yud, all are at a different topic now. Okay. Now, we'll start with the basic halacha. Let's say the guy did the court case, and guy says, you're guilty, you have to pay the guy $100. Finished, that's the ruling. And then the next day, then the loser says, you know what, I found some witnesses. They're out of town. They just came in today. And they have complete testimony. Or raya, or he has a proof. Let's say a written document came up. Okay. Lisuso, that will be for his merit, that can reverse the case, and it's legitimate. Then look what happens. Sosus din, it totally undoes the previous judgment. Vechosa din, and the judgment is redone, and they do it the other way. If it clearly, it's a clear reversal. You know?
Even if you already got the money or whatever.
Yeah. It's a clear reversal. Like, right? Let's say a guy borrowed $100, and there were witnesses and everything that he borrowed $100. And the guy says, okay, you never paid me back. And the guy says, I paid you back. Okay, what would Beis Din Paskin on such a case? And he lent it to him with witnesses. The guy claimed he paid it back without witnesses. And the guy said, he didn't pay me back. What would the judgment be? He's got to pay.
Yeah.
Because you paid, you borrowed it with witnesses. Where's your witnesses? I don't have any. That's just my word. Well, shkoyach. But you got to pay. Then the next day, two witnesses, they just came back from out of, the guy could say, well, I had witnesses, I don't know where they are, I can't find them. Okay, no, they happened to be in Florida, you know, all of a sudden, the next day, boom, they came back. So now you guys come. And now they're going to come to the court and say, we paid back. Well, there's not much to open up the case. They just reverse it, that's it. That testimony changes the whole outcome of the case. Suddenly we do a whole new court case. We just, you know, ask them, you know, the Beis Din ask the proper question to determine if they're correct witnesses, or even if a solid, or let's say the guy couldn't find, but he brought the receipt that he paid him back. So then that's a total reversal.
So for how long?
Oh, yeah, so that's what the next few halachas are going to talk about. This is the theory. Now we have to put it into practice. Exactly. So now. Okay. Avapi, Shikvar Nigmaradin. Even though the judgment was finished. But if we have later New Testament, it switches it totally. Calls Machu maybe Raya Sosa, as long as he brings proof that contradicts the original judgment. Now, What if Amro Dayanim? What if the Dayanim say the following? Kol Roy Shiyesh Lecha. If you have any proofs you want to bring back, Have Mekar Mashal. You have 30 days to bring it.
So they put a limit on it.
They say you got 30 days. Even though he brings witnesses after 30 days, so that it can undo the judgment. In other words, 30 days pass, if you don't have a witness, you gotta pay. He pays. Next day, he brings the witnesses. Day 31. It undoes the judgment. My Yasakas, what do you want the guy to do? He couldn't find the witnesses within 30 days. He found it after 30 days. What do you want? In other words, Bessin could say, okay, the guy says, I need time. Okay, we'll give you 30 days. And 3 days pass, and he's claiming, what, you know, I just can't find them. No, but it's too bad. Can't let this go on forever. 3 days, you gotta pay. Now, day 31, day 41, I don't care when. Now, the witnesses, now he's able to find them. So what do you want from the guy? The Bezdin gave him a time frame. It's not like he was being lazy, he just couldn't find them. Yeah. So we don't say he's making them up, so therefore, he could still undo it. But we gotta see Zion, it's not so simple. What if like this? Avol im sosam es tanasof. What if the guy who loses seals his ability to counter? We'll explain in a minute. Ain a soser, then he can't undo the judgment. We'll explain it right now. Case example. Amrle said to him, listen, mister. Yeshlecha Adim, do you have witnesses to this case or not? And Amri says, Ain li Adim, I have no witnesses. Now that's different now. He says, I have no witnesses. Yes, the right of any proof, any documents, they ask him. I'm our only right. I have no proofs, I have no documents. It's just my word. I know I paid him back. You have no witnesses. I have no witnesses. I have no documents, but I know I don't owe him. But don't also over chivu. They judged him. They said, you're chayef. Now, came in Shirosh, he said, now he all of a sudden says, hey, I thought they would have trusted me. But now they made me chayef. Now he says, okay, kirvu ploni ploni veidinu. You know, so-and-so, they just came close, and now they're going to testify. Or he brings a document out of his wallet, out of his money belt. Okay? Then ain't a clue, that's nothing. We don't pay attention to his witnesses or his documents, because he said he didn't have any. Alright? Now this will need qualifications upon qualifications, but not tonight. We'll have to leave that for tonight. There's going to be two sets of qualifications.
Oh, I want to go into overtime.
On this.